up, so Coach, you want to, if you think wrapping up the season, if you have any questions?
Sure. I think we'd all love to be still playing. There's no question about that. But as being a week removed from the season and looking back on it, I think, safe to say we had another good year from the standpoint of a winning non-league schedule, a winning ACC schedule, a berth in our national tournament. Certainly disappointed, again, like we're still not playing, but we did have a good year, and you look at it in the total of our program and the total of the time that we've been here. Solid year, another year in postseason play. Certainly another year to build our fans' expectation level. That certainly has risen, and certainly was part of our plan to have our fans feeling like that this team can compete for the ACC championship, compete in the national tournament. And so overall, I think it's a good year. Disappointed it's still not going on. Recruiting, player meetings, staff meetings, trying to sleep.
Having lost a great big man and now kind of thinking about it days after the season's ended, what do you think about when you look at this team for next year in terms of where the scoring will come from? How different could things be set up offensively and that kind of thing?
Well, we still got to do a lot of meeting and talking about that. We've talked about that as late as today. I think one of the things that we have to do that is even more important than personnel and replacing Book is to take care of the basketball better. We just turned the ball over far too many times, and anytime you turn the ball over, that's a lost opportunity to score. And if we can have seven or eight more of those a game, then that's going to help us, because you're not going to shoot a 0%. You're going to shoot somewhere, in the 40s probably. So as I looked at back on the number of close ball games that we lost, including the last three, seven more possessions would be helpful. Obviously, the development of the players that are in our program, the continued development of a guy like Jarae Grant, development of our young guys, our freshmen from this class, young big guys, Devin Booker, Milton Jennings, is critical. We've got already one young big guy coming into the program, and Marcus Thornton. And so the development of those guys is important. I think every year, last year we only returned two starters. Next year we could return three. And if you look at a guy like Andre Young, who I certainly considered as important as a starter, we do return an awful lot of experience. Losing a great player in Trevor. See, I've already forgot his name. call him Devin. He's a great player in Trevor, but that's what happens in good programs. You lose good players, but I think any time that you've got three or four starters back, you're very optimistic about how good you can be. And, we've got a lot of experience back. We lost two guys, and David and Trevor, and we've got a lot of guys back from teams that won a lot of games. Trevor and David won more games than anybody in Clemson history. But these guys that are coming back as seniors, DeMontez and Jarae, have a chance to eclipse that mark. So, we got a lot to look forward to. Everything sort of evolved around Trevor in terms of offensively. We wanted to go inside out. We wanted him to get touches and that kind of thing. Things will be tweaked a little bit, I think, there. It won't be so oriented to, getting the ball to Trevor in the low post, obviously. But so we'll tweak some things there just to make us more efficiently. Let's take care of the ball, and we'll probably do a few things a little bit differently in terms of where we're looking to get shots from.
Last year at this time, you said all the positions were up for grabs except Trevor's. This year, how many positions would be up for grabs?
Obviously, we expect that DeMontez Stitt coming off a really good year, and what prevented him from having a great year was of course that stretch where he was hurt. And if you look at our team, it probably hurt us too in terms of seeding for the NCAA tournament. We lost probably four, and I can't remember exactly, Tim, maybe
four
out of five during that stretch. And I say you get a couple more of those, changes your seating and all of that. But he really had a very good year, improved a lot from last year. We expecting the same kind of improvement from him. So he's certainly a guy that you pencil in as someone you're counting on. Jere Grant had the same kind of improvement jump. He's a guy that. That we're counting on. Certainly, you're going to figure, guy like Tanner in the mix and that kind of thing. I think it's a little different than last year. You're returning a first team All ACC guy, so who you're kidding? He's not going to start. I'd say DeMontez is a guy that a guy like in the that I view kind of like we viewed Trevor coming out of last year.
With the group returning and the new guy. Guys, whoever else you bring in, side of the play, do you anticipate doing some things differently, different types of pressing, more pressing, less pressing, anything in those?
Yes. No, I think our style of play will basically stay the same, but we definitely will tweak it like we did this year. We went to a little more 2-2-1 stuff this year, and I think it was helpful to us. We'll probably add or change or tweak what we do with our presses. I think we'll probably in the half court do some different things, do more things regarding the ball screen, because that's so prevalent in our game and in our league. Everybody sets ball screens. And we'll probably mess around with some full court or three court pressure back to zone, just some of those kinds of things. But our basic style of play will be the same.
Is there anything you would do to kind of examine the postseason approach, considering the struggles you've had in the NCAA tournament and even the ACC tournament the last few years?
I think they're tied in there together. I think if you eliminate, if you can help yourself in that area of turnovers, if you can be more efficient offensively, we didn't shoot the ball that well in those last three games or so. There were halves where we were really bad in terms of shooting the ball, and so we got to try to figure out a way to become offensively more efficient. And one big way is to have more possessions. So I think they're all tied in there together.
What will you remember about this?
And along those lines, we were talking offense and defensively. We got to become a better rebounding team overall, because I think again that you rebound the ball better, you have less turnovers. Over the course of a season, over the course of a conference slate, over the course of postseason play, those are going to give you better opportunities.
What do you remember about this team the most when you look back at it? How would you classify them with other teams?
I think resilient is a word that comes to mind. There were several. It seemed like every time that I kind of stood before you guys in this setting before a game, it was a huge game. And there was no dispute in it. It wasn't like you guys were looking at me going like, man, that's just coach speak. I think everybody agreed that next game was. And this team had a lot of those. I think from after the Duke loss at Duke, it went on like that. So it was right through the conference. Would there be hangover? And, boy, if you don't get that next one against Boston College at home, you got North Carolina coming up in a stretch and right on through the end of the season to the three straight, the homestand that we had and so on and so forth. And in most of those situations, this team came through. And obviously we didn't do it at big moments in the ACC tournament, the NCAA tournament. But this team, didn't shrink to challenges. It came out. And I think every night they were ready to play. I just don't remember feeling like, we came out and we were just flat out, coming out. They were ready to play. And there were times we came out ready to play, and then we had some dips, kind of let off the throttle, that kind of thing. But they were, prepared and ready to play ready for the challenge.
One thing, I know
been thinking about is you can't control going into a season or any particular game or the conference season or the postseason. You can never control the outcome as a coach. You can never, 85% of the time with the competition you play, you can't guarantee the outcome. But you're in total control of the process with the team, what you tell them, how they practice, all that kind of stuff. Do you look at those things in the offseason? I'm not saying you're doing something wrong, but do you look at tweaking the process or what you do, what you tell them, all that kind of stuff?
Sure. I mean, just like that's huge. How you prepare for a game is I think, is as important as how you play, because it controls how you play to a certain extent. And I think that's really, really important. And just for example, we're talking about turnovers and rebounding. Well, how do you make them better? Well, your approach during the week before the game, can we put them under even more duress coming into games or coming into the season, during practice? In other words, can we play, for example, six guys against five or four against five? Push them through for an extra 15 minutes in practice when they're spent, and with the emphasis really on, taking care of the ball. If you turn it over so many times, then as a team we're going to run. We do a great thing, I think, and we emphasize a lot and play a lot of six-minute games, because games come down to six-minute games, but to try to find even more of those kinds of situations to put our team in to get the result that you want. And two of the things that we want to get better results from, are rebounding. And then do we have more war type rebounding drills where just no fouls called, no this and that? And of course, you got to be concerned about injuries and those kinds of things. But do we put them in more, war rebound type deals? So you definitely think about that, because I think that has everything to do with the result you get in the end.
Do you go to football coaches?
Generally, yes, but not that way. I don't go to the other school. I just go talk to the guy. We'll sit down and talk, and Final Four, I'll probably end up talking to a couple of guys about certain things they do. I'll see Roy somewhere. I sat down with the Penn State guy. Supposed to be on vacation last year down the Isle of Palm. We ended up spending 3 or 4 hours, talking about different phases of the game. And of course, he wanted to pick my brain on our pressure. And I want to pick their brain on some of the zone stuff he does and that kind of thing. But, we do that all the time. And last year we did Missouri. We took their stuff and studied it. Yes, I am, but I don't think that dominates it, in terms of people who are really important to us, and there are our fans here on our campus and that kind of thing, and recruits. I think recruits have short memories. I don't think they're out there, they didn't get to the Sweet 16 last year. I think what they're concerned about is, are you on television? Are you ranked? Are you in the national conversation? When ESPN starts talking about basketball, when the magazines come out in the it's back to the summer almost now, it seems like they talk about Clemson basketball. So I think those are the things that are most important. But I am concerned that we want to be a team that advances and that kind of thing. And I think the great thing about our sport and everything else is, if you can do that next year, and that's what people remember. I'm oftentimes, talking to reporters about, they were saying, boy, we, finished terrible the last couple of years. I said, wait a minute, 2 years ago, we're in the ACC championship. We didn't fit. So people don't really remember. They remember what you've done recently. And most recently, we got eliminated from the NCAA tournament. So now, having said that, a lot of people did this year. you know, with that, with the, you know, I guess the first weekend of upsets and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, a lot of that kind of gets swallowed up too. But, yeah, I'm concerned about that. And the only way to fix that is to get back there, first of all, which is tough, and then, you know, win a few games.
Can you talk about Bowling, his skill set, and the kind of role you can see him?
Say it again.
Marcus Thornton and his skill set.
Oh, okay.
What kind of role he can possibly work himself into next year?
But, you know, he fits with the, you know, the Devin Bookers of the world, Drake Grant. He's kind of that power guy that's is springy, athletic, fast, can block shots, can dunk over the rim, you know, kind of a guy. So, he, you know, he's the kind of guy that we really, you know, love to recruit. He's a very smart kid, great student. He's from a winning program. In fact, I don't know if you guys know the story, but, you know, they had a great – run, got all the way to the state championship game and sprained his ankle in warm-up and didn't play. But he's, you know, Mr. Basketball in the state of Georgia, which is one of the, you know, best athletic states in the, you know, country, best basketball states in the country. So he had a great year, and, you know, now it's just a matter of him. He's been to see us play a bunch of times, and so he knows our style, and certainly he's already started talking about how he can fit in, what he got to do to get better, what he's got to do to play, and that kind of thing. But, you know, he's that's who I would kind of compare him to. And what he's got to do to, you know, to fit in and play is come in and, with a great attitude, come in shape, and perform.
Noel seems like a guy who would obviously count on next year to try to score even more. And, this past year he showed flashes. What do you tell him in the offseason to do to get better? I mean, should he think more like a guard? Should he think more like a small forward? I mean, I think this is a very key summer.
Well, there's not enough. There's not a lot of difference between our guard and small forwards, you know, unless you're, you know, Andre Young or something. I mean, David Potter, Tanner Smith. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, if you didn't know coming into the game what they were labeled, you wouldn't know what to call them. So there's not a lot. He's a wing, and he is, you know, going to score more for us. He's going to have more of an opportunity, you know, to do that. And basically, we've talked to him about things already, and we'll meet again here in a week or so about staying lower. You know, he's a guy that kind of plays straight up and down, but staying lower so he can be quicker offensively and defensively. And, you know, just some things like that, getting up a lot of shots, becoming a – speaking of rebounding, here's a guy that could be a heck of a rebounder. So placing more of an emphasis and importance on rebounding on both ends because the guy's, you know, 6'7". So those are some of the kind of things that we talked to him about. And, yeah, he's a guy that has a penchant for, you know, getting flurries of points. And you know, if you're out there more often, you're going to have more success with that.
So the freshman class as a whole, what did you make of their first year?
It was a developing year for him. I mean, they certainly were involved and important to us and in a very solid year for us. They've got a, you know, long way to go. In terms of you know, becoming outstanding players in our league, but I think they they're gonna do that. I think they're big for us next year. You know, they gotta we've said many times they're our future, but we counted on them this year. And you know, Milton was certainly up and down and struggled, and really all of them did. All of them were a little up and down, and Dante didn't get much of an opportunity. And I thought. He was playing as well as any of those guys in practice toward the end of the year. We were just in, you know, down to our rotation, and he didn't get much of an opportunity. But, you know, they struggled like most freshmen did.
Taking as a whole, when you look at all the sellouts, the, you know, all the sold-out games and, you know, the third straight trip to the NCAA tournament, is this where you saw the program 5, 6, 7 years ago?
Yeah, just the excitement around our program. Just you mentioned the sellout of every ACC game, you know, selling out Winthrop, the game day atmosphere, the rise in attendance, the number of national television games, you know, being ranked most of the year. You know, all those things are things that I, when I talked about changing the perception of our program internally and externally, that certainly was a major part of it.
You used about 10 or 11 guys at a time this year, up to 10. With a guy like Book leaving, does some of those minutes then get dispersed even more? Does that maybe lend itself? Because one guy, I mean, you talk about 30. What are the other players?
About 30 minutes a game,
yeah. Maybe. I mean, does that impact how the substitution patterns go when you lose someone that rocks out?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, time will tell, but what you'd love is somebody, you know, step up and kind of, you know, assume that role and gobble up all those minutes because they're a hell of a player. But yeah, I mean, those are 30 minutes that you that are out there to be grabbed. And, you know, guy who I'd like to gobble up a lot of those minutes is, you know, Jerre Grant by being on the floor. But obviously a guy like Devin Booker is a guy, and when you look at it physically and the physical presence that you're losing, that's somebody you're counting on to give you a lot of that physical presence.
Does Jerre have that same kind of ability that Trevor had to be able to get the ball and create a play? Where, I mean, I think what we've seen a lot out of Jerre is that he can finish plays. Does he have Booker's ability to kind of be that kind of versatile player down low?
No, I don't think. They're different type of players, and he's more of a, you know, kind of a dirty work guy who blocks shots, he posts, defends. Like you said, he can finish. Yeah. I mean, that's a very valuable guy for you. But he's not the all-around, he can take you off the bounce and this and that that Book was. But you know, I think he can be an even better rebounder. He can be a better post defender. In fact, he is a better post defender. So there's just so many other things that he does that are so valuable for you. As you talk about rebounding, and you're talking about, you know, not turning that thing over, and those are two areas that, you know, he's got to help us in.
Do you have that kind of guy with Booker's ability, that off the bounce kind of ability?
No. He's the best all-around player to ever play here, and we just don't have anybody that's exactly like him. Then we got a couple of guys that could develop to that. If you remember when he got here, and after his freshman year, you weren't talking about him off the bounce or with his right hand or anything else. But player development is huge in our program. It always has been. It's helped us. You know, we've had four-year guys, and you know, that's why every year we've been able to have a team that you know, we felt was going to compete for the ACC championship, or was going to win 20 games, or was going to be in the NCAA tournament, and get us in postseason play. And so, I mean, I feel the same way about this group. We got a lot of work to do between now and then. And the major reason I feel that way is because the number of guys we got coming back. Only losing two guys, the number of guys that were, you know, so-called starters coming back, so that's major minute guys. And those guys also have the experience of winning.
You mentioned player development. There's more basketball cliche, never give up on a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
You got a 7-footer. Will we ever see anything?
I hope so. We meaning me. No, I hope so. You know, what we're hoping for with Bobo is a kind of a non-eventful spring and summer. You know, no shoulder operations, no mole removals that they have to go back in and, you know, remove it again and that kind of thing. And we're hoping, you know, he can get his weight on and keep it on and continue that development. You know, he can't afford, you know, a setback. And hopefully, you know, he's able to go through a kind of a non-eventful period here, but at the same time, continue to work hard. He's been very good in the weight room. He was last year, and then he ran into a couple of setbacks there about this time of year last year, so hopefully that won't happen.
Talk about offensive efficiency. As a team, shot 30% in ACC play from beyond the arc. Is that the answer is in-house to improve that, or is that a recruiting priority?
Well, as I mentioned, the reason I think we can put a product that can compete for the ACC championship and for an NCAA bid is the core guys we got coming back. And so I do think the answer is in-house, although we certainly like to add to that from a recruiting standpoint. But these are the guys that we're counting on it to get us there. And I got a lot of confidence in them because of the experiences that they've had before, and because of how hard I think they will work here in the offseason.
What is your strategy for recruiting? How many more players would you like to sign? What kind of guys do you think you have in terms of like, position guard for?
If we could get one more, I'd be really happy. The right guy. And that right guy could be either a wing or a big guy. If it's a, you know, player of the, you know, ability, you know, but Trevor Booker, we take him as a big guy. and if it's a wing guy that can you know, give us some shooting and at the same time give us the toughness defensively that is required to play in our system, then we'd like to have that.
And this may seem like a silly question, but you're not anticipating any surprises like you got last spring when T.O. decided to go. I mean, you feel like your roster is, you're fairly confident that everybody on your roster who says they're coming back will be back.
No, you never know. Yeah. You never know. Anticipating any surprises. Is that like an oxymoron?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, you never know. You're talking about and anybody that I think says they do, you know, that's wishful thinking. You're just talking about 17 to, you know, 18 to 22 years, and anything can happen. And, you know, in our culture now, it's a, you know, you're supposed to come and play 1 year or 2 years and go to the NBA and all that stuff. And so you never know who people are listening to. I mean, you know, who would have ever thought that, you know, a young man would leave and go to Europe to get better ready for the NBA? You just never know. But we've had good talks, and everybody seems to be working really hard. And, you know, guys got back, and within 3 days we're in the weight room, and that's the last place I wanted them. I wanted to be away from it for a while. And they were playing yesterday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that kind of thing. So it seems everything seems to be hunky-dory.
How about the other surprise you had? Do you know any coaches that, with a simmering scandal, they're about to blow up and they're going to leave their program and somebody transfer into the
program? Well, like I said, you never know. No, I mean, it's the same thing. No, not right now, but our antenna are up, and that's just the way it is. And, you're going to have coaching changes, right?
I mean. Yeah.
And then, you know, kid signs with one school and the coaches change and all of a sudden the kid asks for his release. I mean, those things are going to happen. And, you know, if we happen to be in the crosshairs, then we'll deal with it.
Are you surprised at the public nature of the Paul Hewitt deal where he was openly talking to St. John's and then decided to stay there? Did that catch you by surprise?
Well, yeah, just that particular situation, but no, not that. I mean, I think it goes on every year, but yeah, that particular situation was surprising because I just, you know, thought that Georgia Tech was a great place, and you know, St. John's. I understand as I heard more about it, that's home and all that stuff. But I, you know, Georgia Tech's a great job, great place.
Do you have any interest in going to St. John's?
No.
I ask as an alumni.
Oh, are you? Let's talk afterwards then. How much is your contribution? No, not at all.
Ask the Pope.
Hey, I worked at the Catholic school, so I know about that. You guys can pinch a nickel.
At this time, do you anticipate your staff, anyone looking to add a head coaching
over? No, but it's, you know, like I said, this, you know, what happens right about now. Job things just, you know, things change and staff change and that kind of thing. But as of right now, in meetings I've had with guys, nothing going on right now. But that could change, like, today.
Do you think your players look at a team like Butler and say, that should be us, we should be this
person? You know, I wonder about that sometimes. I think that they do if they're watching. Guys don't watch games as much as you think, as like we used to. But I think it, you know, will occur to them probably over the – what are they in now? Yeah, so if they don't lose by Sunday, they'll see it.
What happened with Tanner Smith this year? Was it confidence? What's your take on
it? Yeah, I just think he's still a young player. I just think up and down, you know, just a little bit up and down. I think he's still a young player. And, you know, those are some of the kind of things you try to figure out. I mean, you know, as you start to evaluate your team, you go down to each guy and look at him game by game. And you go back in your mind and say, well, you know, what kind of occurred there? Why did he take that dip there? Why is he turning the ball over more there and that kind of thing? You know, was he, like you said, confidence? Did he get worn down? But I just think it's just, again, without really studying it yet, I think he's just still a young player that's going to have some ups and downs. And I think sometimes we forget that about sophomores because, you know, freshmen play now. It used to be, you know, a sophomore, you were like a freshman. And I think it's just I just chalk it up to experience right now without really looking at that game by game, because it did, it was kind of a period of time.
In evaluating personnel getting ready for next year, could you see more scenarios where Andre is the one and DeMontez is the off guard even more than you did this year?
Well, what I see is Andre Young being even more important to us next year, so I see Andre Young playing even more. And so I guess the answer to that by default is yes. But, you know, I just thought he had a really, really good year. Really good year. And we came to rely upon him so much that when he wasn't knocking down that shot, it was, you know, it was evident.
What do you make of the, you know, Big East was the power this year, was going to be so dominant, you got one team left, you got one team left. You know, it seems like if these results mean anything, the best basketball in college is played in the Midwest this year, but they weren't. How do you separate what happens in the rankings during the season and then what happens in the tournament?
Well, it just calls you to recognize that the rankings aren't necessarily always accurate. I mean, it's the same as you know, the rankings on the very first day are different than the rankings on the last day. And then you get to the tournament, and it's all turned upside down. There's parity in college basketball. There's a lot of great basketball played around the country. And you know, the so-called eyeball test is less than accurate. I mean, it has more to do with, you know, is a team efficient in certain areas, and does it do things fundamentally correct? And on that given day, if teams are they're not that far apart, you know, one team could beat the other. I mean, a perfect example is you know, last night's game, I guess, and I didn't watch the entire game, was Cornell versus Kentucky. I mean, Cornell is a team that's fundamentally sound. They do most things the right way, and Kentucky's awfully talented. They do things the right way sometimes, but other times they don't do things fundamentally right, but they get away with it because they're so talented. So, you know, it just means if your team is in the right place and developing and time and getting better and doing things fundamentally correct, you can compete as long as your talent is not so starkly different. Than other teams. I mean, I think we got a tremendous amount of talent in our league, and I think, you know, North Carolina this year is a good, really good example there. No one will ever say they're not talented, or even though they got a lot of guys injured and that kind of thing, but, you know, fundamentally, they didn't do things the way they normally do as far as Roy's concerned, and as a result, they've struggled. Now they're playing better, and they're not beating chopped liver teams now. I mean, those teams they're beating now are NCAA type teams, but they're, you know, kind of coming together, getting better, and really focused on some of those fundamental things that made his teams really good in years past, because they've got talented players.
So it's not Armageddon.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh, I thought you were going to say for North Carolina. That's why I was chuckling. I said, "Oh no!" No, no. I think so. I think so. That means people are interested in basketball here. I mean, just the conversations that are going on. I mean, you know, Dan Scott wouldn't even talk about basketball until almost fall. Well, fall, and then it's still an aside until, you know, football is over. I mean, we talk about basketball around here now all summer long. And certainly here, you know, now it's a topic, and it's a great thing. I feel good about that. I feel like, you know, we had something to do with that. And at the same time, it doesn't take away the disappointment that you have when, you know, you go out of that first round of the NCAA. That's just like, that's really hard. And it's like suddenly it stops, and that's hard. And I hope our players feel that.
Do you think there's enough leadership in player ranks?
I think so. You know, I think the again, for the last 2 or 3 years now, that group of seniors has won more games than, you know, any Clemson team, and they hear the talk about advancing in the NCAA tournament, that kind of thing. So I think every year that we have it, I think that group coming back, I think it hurts them more. I think the, you know, first couple of years just getting there was probably enough in some ways. I don't think with this group just getting there is enough. Now, at the same time, we got to temper that with making them understand you got a lot of work to do before you can have that conversation again, because it's really hard to get to the tournament out of the ACC. I mean, all you got to do is look at a team like you know, Virginia Tech and, you know, Florida State until, you know, last year, and that team was, I mean, I was off the charts talented, and, you know, finally got there last year, and then to be able to get back, it's quite an accomplishment to get there.
In terms of scheduling for next year, you try to go with the same philosophy, some RPI, you know, gets on the road, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we're probably only a couple of games away from finishing, and it's a similar philosophy. It's really been good for us to play a tough non-conference schedule, maybe go on the road to a couple places you wouldn't normally go on the road, but I think that's looked upon favorably in the RPI. And when you get down to that conversation at the end, they start talking about your road record and that kind of thing. That's been good for us. And then, of course, you know, league play is league play. So it'll be a similar deal. And we'll be in a tournament where we play, have an opportunity to play, you know, a couple of top 25 teams and that kind of thing.
How's that?
Let's not leave yet, because I won't see y'all for a while. Let's keep going.
Who's
going to
win the Final Four this year?
Let's think out loud here. Kentucky's the most talented, but they're also one of the youngest. Butler, who's Butler played next?
Kansas State.
Kansas State, because their backcourt, boy, could. And they could. Michigan State's got tremendous experience there, but the point guard's down.
Northern Iowa.
I hate to say it, but I think Kentucky is.
Have you ever had a team that you beat a potential Butler wins the national title and North Carolina wins the NIT? You would have gone 2-0 against the two. You've probably never done that in 20 some odd years ago.
I think in the year that Merrill.
Clemson beat an eventual national champion once in history.
Say that again?
Clemson has only beaten a team that has won the national championship once in history. That was in 1980-81. We beat Indiana. They went on to win the national championship.
Yeah. I think the only thing we've come closer to that
is.
Yeah,
it'd be
great. Isaiah
Thomas in
here?
Isaiah Thomas.
You guys beat him?
Beat Isaiah Thomas with Chris Dodds playing a man from. Larry Nance might have a
How about the year that Maryland won the national championship? We beat them the year before. I think we went to the Final Four. I think we beat them. But didn't Clemson beat them that year?
Yeah. No, we didn't beat them that year. Hey, you beat when you were Dayton, you beat a Maryland team that went to the Final Four.
Final Four, right.
Yeah.
I thought you beat Maryland that year. Clemson did beat Maryland.
No,
that year.
We lost.
Sorry about that. So I want you to stay. Yeah.
We lost the high-scoring game.
Okay.
Why do you
think so? Well, young, and they just kind of put them together, and they've been. I think that obviously they're good, but I think they've been so fortunate in so many games. But they're on, man. I mean, they're on, and then, you know, the kid's gonna go one and done, and, you know.
Cousins
is a beast.
When he played
down, they're scary.
Watching him up close.
Well, you know who's a beast on that team is Orton. I mean, this guy, anybody else's team. I mean, I would say anybody, but I'd say other than five teams in America, this guy is a all-league player. I mean, he's, man.
Do you almost think you're watching an NBA team play when you watch them?
I was watching right before our practice. I was watching them play against Mississippi State in the championship game. And by the way, we'll bring that discussion up in this. And I don't know how they won the game. And, of course, Mississippi fouled? Remember? The three, the old thing. And then that raises ugly head again last night. Kansas State, up three, and they try to foul. And the referees don't call the foul, so they foul anyone. They got, and it's a, they foul the guy shooting a three, and he makes all three, and it goes into double overtime. Yeah, so that's so nobody's brought that old discussion up in a while about fouling. And it's, it happened. It's happened about four times this year, and it's always been the wrong strategy to foul. To foul the, but nobody brings that up. Was it 3 years ago? It was like three games that way.
Did you guys ever get him with Wall? Was he
with Wall?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he wasn't interested.
Nope. All righty. Appreciate it, guys. I really do.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Austin.
Thanks for being in July.
Yep. We talked to the recruits.
Yep.